Amen. So we're going to continue where we left off last week. And, you know, we're doing a series on living the empowered, spirit-led life in Christ. Amen. And we're digging deep into knowing the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit, and understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, we began in this teaching, and we've been pressing forward. Amen. And now last week, we began lesson two, but we couldn't finish it because there was so much there. And lesson two was about becoming dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we spoke about for us not to be relying on our own wisdom and understanding. We need to rely on God's wisdom, God's ways. We cannot rely on our human reasoning and understanding because we will not accomplish, once again, what God has called us to do if we rely on our own understanding. We don't want to get ahead of God. Amen. We also don't want to be left behind. Amen. But God has perfect timing for everything. And as Sister Vinny said, that church is going to be built. And it's going to be in God's timing, not our timing. But as we continue to follow and walk by faith, that will come to fruition in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we also said that the Holy Spirit last week, it was the key player of the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant, a covenant of grace. We're not under the letter. We're under the Spirit of God. We're being led by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, of God. And today, this is part three of lesson two. And part three is about communion with the Spirit that will cause you and I to enter into rest. Amen. And I want to begin by we're going to read two different chapters from the Bible, but because they all connect with one another. So we're going to begin in Psalm 95, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. So let's begin the reading, Psalm 95, verses 6. And it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Amen. Now, I want to, because the book of Hebrews speaks about this first, we're just going to go into the book of Hebrews because the interpretation that I'm going to give you is related to both verses. Amen. So let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. And let's go to verse 7. Hebrews 3:7. And it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Go to verse 19, same chapter. And it says in 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Again, you got to read that again. We saw from Scripture, and it says right here, that the Israelites, that generation that the Lord is speaking about, that generation that the author of Hebrews is talking about, they could not enter in because of unbelief. So, lesson three of these series is about communion with the Spirit of God that will cause you and I to enter into rest. And we just read about what took place in the wilderness. And honestly, when you put yourself in today's terms, it still holds truth that we will not be entering into the Lord's rest because of unbelief. So if there's any unbelief in your life, you will not enter into that rest. And we are going to open that up in great detail. So the first thing I want to do is I want to define the word rest. And we're not talking about an acronym here, okay? The word rest in the natural, from the dictionary, right, refers to a state of relaxation, sleep, or a pause from physical or mental health, right? Mental exertion or mental labor, right? For example, let's say if you begin to clean your house, and let's say you're vacuuming, right, at one point, and you say, oh, I feel a little tired, so then you go and sit. You talk, that's the rest that we're talking about in the natural. In the natural. But these scriptures are not talking about a natural rest. It's not talking about you going into laying down on a sofa, laying down on your bed to take a nap. We're not talking about that type of rest. We're talking about the rest that when God rested on the seventh day of creation, it wasn't because he was tired, church. No, God rested not because of exhaustion, right? He wasn't tired, but because everything was now completed in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He created. He did everything that he wanted to do, and there was nothing else for him to do because it was done perfectly. Anything more would have made it imperfect. Amen? The word of God is very clear in Genesis. God rested on the seventh day, not from laboring, not from exhaustion, not from exertion either, but because he said, what I've done, I did perfectly. Let's take another illustration because I really need you to understand this. Amen? Rest. It's like the lawyers, right? Who says, I rest my case, right? You've heard that in a courtroom. I rest my case. It doesn't mean that they are tired and they need to take a nap or they need to take a little rest. No, it means that they've already given all the evidence that they have to the judge and to the jury, and that their presentation is now complete because there's nothing more that they need to add or they need to present. Amen? Are you following me? So we're not talking about the natural rest as the world knows it. We are talking about a godly rest that you can sit back and say, wow, this is awesome. This is great. This is good. I can rest in the promises of God. So let's break these two chapters here, right? What we read. Remember that what was supposed to be an 11-day journey to the promised land took 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine? An 11-day journey took 40 years. Mm-hmm. And as we know from Scripture, only two people in that whole congregation, in that whole generation of Israel who came out of Egypt, lived to enter into the promised land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And although Moses didn't join in the unbelief about entering the land of Canaan, which is recorded in the book of Numbers, want to go back and read that story, he later on, this is talking about Moses, he later on didn't believe the Lord concerning speaking to the rock instead of striking it.
Right.
You see how important our words are? Even then, God told Moses, speak to the rock. Amen? And what happened? It cost Moses his entry into the promised land, just like the other people. They disobeyed the word of the Lord. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews right here that we just read, quoted, and it continues to quote in this chapter 3, and it refers back to the Israelites, what we just read, who came out of Egypt and yet tempted God in the wilderness. In other words, the Israelites did not trust the Lord, did not trust God. So this is speaking about a generation who was delivered from slavery in Egypt, who rebelled against God in the wilderness, showing that the reason the Lord was grieved, because we read it, he was grieved. He says, I was angry. I was grieved with that generation because they hardened their hearts. And that hardness of their heart caused the Israelites to tempt and prove the Lord during the 40 years in the wilderness. So let's go back to rest. So that means from reading these scriptures that entering into the rest of God is not automatic. Even after you and I, we're born again. And today we have a place of rest in the Lord. But we have to labor to enter into it. Why? Why do we have to labor into the rest of God? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why we need our mental effort is required in order to labor into the rest of God. It's required because if you want to silence your anxiety, if you want to silence your stress, you need mentally and intentionally to labor into God's rest and rest in His Word. You understand?
Yeah.
Why? Because the enemy constantly coming in, your mind is constantly coming in, your flesh is constantly coming in to bring chaos, confusion, and doubt. And as we read before, that the people could not enter in to the promised land or rest because of their belief. So mental effort is certainly required to silence stress and anxiety. Mental effort is required for you and I to fight off self-doubt. Mental effort is required for us to intentionally choose peace over panic. Are you following me? God intended not only, church, to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, but also to bring them into the land of promise. But because of their unbelief, as we read in verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, it didn't happen. In other words, let's expand it. In other words, grumbling, complaining, and unbelief will destroy the godly rest God wants you to enter and experience. I'll say it again. Grumbling, complaining, and unbelief destroy the rest God wants you to enter and experience. That's heavy, isn't it? For me, it was heavy. And I've read scripture, and when you start dissecting the Word of God, it's heavy. What should have been an 11-day journey took 40 years. That's a huge amount of difference. And I tell you, I don't want to wait another 40 years for this Beacon of Light Church to be built. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to enter into the rest of God. We have to get away from the grumbling, complaining, and unbelief. We gotta remain, amen, anchored on the Word, trusting God, trusting what He said already, trusting the vision that He gave me in order to enter the rest of God, and to know that you know without a shadow of doubt that what God has promised, that promised land that He has called us to go to, will come to fruition in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what God is saying here. We need to rest on God. We need to be dependent on God. We need to commune with the Holy Spirit because He's the one that's guiding us. He's directing us. So we have to continue, church, to believe, to enter into that promised land, Beacon of Light Church,
yes,
in Shirley, New York. And many times we often place the importance on actions that we call sin. But all sin is the result of unbelief in our hearts. Let me explain. Let's go to Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve's unbelief about what God said to them. Remember, He spoke to, let's clear this up. He spoke to Adam first, okay? Eve was clueless, but He spoke to Adam first. But the Word of God says, Adam and Eve's unbelief about what God said was the source of their sin. So eating the forbidden fruit was just how they expressed their unbelief. You see that? Yes, there was sin though. But it was, what caused it was eating the forbidden fruit. It's how they expressed their unbelief to God. So when they ate it, they disobeyed the Word. They disobeyed God's Word. And again, we read it in these two chapters. God looks on the heart and at the heart of man. And when He looked at Adam and Eve, what He saw was their unbelief. Their unbelief. And unbelief, church, will grow into sin. So, sin is not really the problem. Unbelief was the problem that resulted for the sin to happen. Let's expand it. Joshua and Caleb were not sinless, right? They were not Jesus. They were not perfect men, right? Because the Word of God says that we all fall short. Right? We all fall short. We're not perfect. We will reach perfection when we go with God, right? So Joshua and Caleb weren't sinless. There was sin in their lives. But they believed God. They believed the promises of God. And faith is what pleases God. Right? Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Actually, I'm going to go there because right here I'm in Hebrews already, right? Because there's another section to Hebrews 6:11, right? It says here, I'm sorry, 11:6. I just twisted. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Talking about God, Hebrews 11:6 we're reading from. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? And we know from Joshua, he was always seeking the Lord. He was always inquiring of the Lord. So even though they may have been sin in their lives, right? But because they believe God, they enter into the promised land. Because faith is what pleases the Lord. Yes. It's always unbelief, church, not sin, that keeps us from receiving what God has for us. And I'll say it again. It's always unbelief, not sin, that keeps us from receiving. Amen? And you know what this reminds me of? And we're not going to go there, but I believe it's John in the book, Gospel of John 5:5, where the Lord Jesus came to a lame man that was sitting around the pool in Bethesda, I think, that pool, where once a year the angels would come and whoever fell in the pool first would be healed. But you know what? He went to this particular man, right? And he says, and, you know, he says, do you want to be made well? He says, yes. And they had a conversation. And when the Lord God, the Lord Jesus healed this man, you know what he told them? He says, now go sin no more. What does that tell you? That it wasn't sin that stopped the Lord from doing what he wanted to do. That it was unbelief at first. He says, but I got no one to push me in, right? But when that was turned around, and the Lord asked him, do you want to be made well? And of course, who wouldn't want to be made well? God healed him. But then he said, now go sin no more. Amen? Because there was sin in his life. But that didn't stop the Lord from healing him. So even though, and I'm, you know, again, this is not a license to sin. Remember Paul's words. God is not giving us a license. Just because we have grace doesn't mean that we have a license to sin. But just to make a point that the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, he paid for our past, present, and future sins. So sin is not going to stop us from receiving the promises of God, but unbelief will. Because sin is a result of unbelief. Can you understand what I'm saying? Can you understand what Scripture is saying? Sin is the result of unbelief, not the other way around. Again, God looks on the heart, and it's the unbelief that he sees in men and women. And the unbelief will grow into sin just like it did with Adam and Eve. So it's always unbelief, not sin, that will keep us from receiving that which God has promised us. Amen? Let's continue on because there's a lot to say on this topic, right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. You know, you read the whole Hebrews, it talks about the Old Testament. It's so interesting. But I'm just going to, cutting it short, Hebrews 4, let's go to 9 and 10. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Amen? So the Old Testament prophecies, right? And the picture that the Old Testament Sabbath was painting were all about a rest that is now available to us in the New Testament through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, it's not about our works. It's about the completed work at the cross. We got to take our eyes off ourselves and look at what the Lord Jesus did. He accomplished everything. He said it was finished. Just like God said after he, on the seventh day, he completed creation. Just like he said, he just sat back and said, it's done. It's completed. Well, guess what? The Lord Jesus completed everything when he said, it is finished. It was complete. Now my people can enter into the rest. His rest. Amen? We have, today, nowadays, we have a covenant, church, a covenant of rest, of godly rest. And how do we accomplish it? By hearing the voice of the Lord and simply doing what he tells us to do. Listen, let's talk about Beacon of Light Church. If I would have heard people and follow people's voices that say, you know, why are you buying that piece of land? Why are you, you know, wasting so much money when the community needs and could use our money? I would have failed God. It would have brought unbelief. If I would have allowed influences from other people, they would have detoured me from the promises of God. And even though we don't see it naturally, the promise yet being fulfilled, I know in the spirit realm, I see it. I see the church. I have drawn the church already. I got 3 pages of a church that I designed through the Holy Spirit. But that would have cost. It would have cost me not to be in God's rest. It would have cost me, forget about sin, it would have cost unbelief to enter in, doubt to enter in. And I would not be resting in God right now as I am today. I have entered the rest of God because I know who I am in Christ. I know what God has called us to do. I know where God is leading us to do, to the point that the name of the church had to be changed because God said, I am doing a new thing in this community. Shall you not see it?
Amen.
And everything had to come into the new. Because you cannot place old wine into new wineskin. It will tear it up. So God explained all that to me. But again, how do we enter the rest of God? By hearing his voice. And by simply doing it. We tried to purchase 3 other properties before the land. We had issues. We lost money. But when we tried to purchase this piece of land, it was a smooth transaction. That speaks and still speaks volume to me today. You see, when we hear, when we purpose to hear the voice of the Lord, the pressure is no longer on you and I, but on God.
Amen.
Because he's speaking. He's the voice that we're following. So it's not about us. God, you got this. It's on you, God.
Amen.
We're just following what you're saying. So now it's on you. It is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to speak to us. We just need to hear and follow. And when you do that, you enter into his rest.
Yes.
And as a believer, when we are fully surrendered to God and become totally dependent by the Holy Spirit, you have just entered into rest. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I want to be resting in God. There's enough anxiety and chaos and confusion in this world right now. There's so much happening, but as long as I'm in the rest of God, it's not going to touch me. It's not going to move me. I'm not going to be shaken. I heard some things, you know, I'm not going to share. I was in Shirley yesterday. I was attending a service, a Spanish service yesterday. And I heard some things that I was like, mm-mm. That ain't going to happen at Beacon of Light Church. And you know, talking about demonic spirits and stuff like that. I said, listen, they're everywhere. We know that. But that land has been consecrated.
Amen.
That land has been set apart. That land is holy ground. That land has been baptized and anointed by the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because I heard from the Lord and I did what He asked me to do.
Amen.
And I said to myself, I am receiving that. Not in our church.
Mm-hmm.
No way. I mean, I can't even tell. I'm not telling you details. But I'm just saying, boy, the enemy likes to come in and, woo-hoo. No. And I said, no. And I went after service. I went to the land and I began to declare and decree. Because that's what I do. Amen. Glory to God. And the time is going. I told you that this message is God. This is God. Again, it's the Holy Spirit responsibility to speak to us, to speak to you. All we got to do is listen. And just follow through. Let's go to, and I think we read this already, but Hebrews, you know, talking about the heart of men. I mean, Hebrews 3, you know, in verse 8, it says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. Boy, God is looking at our hearts every day. And the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to us every single day. We're the ones who determine the state of our heart. Our choice or the choices that we make makes our hearts hard or sensitive to the Lord. Are you going to choose to follow your own fleshly desires, or are you going to choose to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and follow what He says? It's all about the heart, church. Where's your heart at today? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go to chapter 15. I hope you're learning something today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 15. Let's go to, we're just going to read three verses. Let's go to verse 5. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Amen.
This is an awesome scripture right here. I mean, these verses are amazing. So what is this saying? That abiding in the Lord certainly demands intimacy that cannot be achieved without spending time with Him. We gotta spend time with Him alone. We gotta be able to hear from the Lord. You know, a lot of times I get in my car and what I do when I have a 50 to an hour an hour ride in the morning and coming back home. Now I'll just go in and I'll put on a lesson, like a teaching. I'll listen to the word audibly from my app. I'll pray in tongues, or I'll just talk to God about what's going on in my life. And I began to declare and decree, and I just pray in my car. So that's abiding in the Lord, because it demands intimacy, and there's nobody else in the car but me and Him. But just as we need to spend time with the Lord, we need to also learn to be in communion with the Lord on a daily basis and in our daily activities. Right? So it's not just about being in the car or being in your prayer closet, as some of us call it, right? But are you involving God in your daily activities? Meaning, let's say you're preparing dinner. Are you talking to God while you're preparing dinner? Let's say you're taking a shower. Are you talking to God? Let's say you're going out to a park to take a walk. Are you talking to God? Are you involving Him in your daily activities? Right? Amen? This is what He's saying here. And it is unrealistic and not God's will, right, for us to try to live lives of total seclusion, meaning being secluded from Him. That's not the will of God. And for Christians, it is unrealistic. How can you call yourself a Christian and not even open the Word, not even read a verse, not even meditate on His Word? Amen. You don't have to open the Word, but at least meditate on His Word, right? Because that's communion with God. That's His Word, and His Word is living, right? So in the same way, that's truth right there. The reality is that we can't just visit the Lord. We have to dwell in His presence the way we're doing it right now. We are dwelling in the presence of God right now. This is not just a visit. We are dwelling. We are pressing in. We are having church. We are dissecting the Word of God. We are studying the Word of God. We are dwelling in His presence. So it is absolutely true that without the Lord Jesus, church, we can do nothing, as we just read. But it is also absolutely true that we are never, ever without Him. Amen. The Lord is with us 24/7. But there needs to be a balance. And we need to recognize that our total dependence on God, right? We need to recognize that our totality, our dependence has to be on God. This is what we were talking about last week. We have to rely and be dependent on God. We cannot be so focused, right, in our inability that we forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Because God's word says that those I call, I have equipped. We as believers, we are fully equipped with the Word of God. We are fully equipped for any work that God has told us to do. The problem is that when we unplug ourselves from the source of all our strength and blessing, we do become unfruitful. Because the Word of God, we just read it, for we can do nothing without Him. And the reality is, if that happens, and if we unplug from the Holy Spirit, when we unplug from God, people can come in and devour us when we are living out of our own strength. We can be easily influenced by people if we're not plugged into God, let me tell you. Because you lose your discernment. You're not plugged into God. That means you don't really have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. You cannot really discern because you're not plugged into the vine. Amen. And people will come in because the enemy, we studied it and we speak about it. The enemy comes in and he uses people to bring you a detour, to bring you a blockage, to be a hinder into what God wants you to do in your life individually and as a ministry. Satan is bad. God is good. Okay? Amen? So we got, as a church, as believers, we have to abide in the vine. And the reality is everyone wants to get whatever they pray for, but very few people are willing to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So this promise is conditional on our abiding. It's not God who fails to answer our prayers if we aren't abiding in Him. Instead, it is Satan who hinders our prayers when we're not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our flesh, right, our carnal, is what gets in the way from our non-abiding. And what happens is our life becomes powerless to do anything about it because we're not plugged in, because we're not connected. And the enemy will come in really quickly to hinder and bring in obstacles and bring in chaos and bring in the noise so you don't hear from God.
Amen.
But that's not on God. That's on you. That's on me. You follow? This is why it's so vital for us to be plugged in and connected in fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. Because when we do, we enter into a rest that the world cannot give us.
Yes.
And this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching in this verse. Let's go to the book of Galatians 2:20. Right? Thank you, Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen?
Amen.
Paul was very clear here. The Apostle Paul, he said, in these verses, he said he was living by the faith of, not faith in, right, the Son of God. So, we don't have, as Christians, we don't have faith in God. We have the faith of God. Amen? So, here, Paul clearly stating that he was living by faith, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the place where every born-again believer, right, receives it. Because we believe Christ by faith, the faith of God. But how did we receive that faith? We heard the gospel truth of the Word of God. We heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard about the finished work of the cross. And we just acquired that faith of God that allowed us to say yes to the Lord. Say, yes, I receive the Lord as my Savior. Mm-hmm. So how did Paul get it? Paul got it from God's Word. God spoke to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
And after God spoke to him, what did the Holy Spirit do? He became a resident of every believer in the new covenant. The Holy Spirit was everywhere. The Lord Jesus was with the disciples. Amen? So Paul came afterwards. Amen. Paul believed by faith because it was God who downloaded his word unto Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul was taken away by God for a number of years. But in that time, God began to give him a download of his word, of his son, revelation. Mm-hmm. Revelation. And after Paul got the word from God, it was thereafter that the Holy Spirit began to reside in every believer. Because the word of God says in Romans 12:3 that every believer, we all have the same measure of faith. So the measure that Paul had is the same measure of faith that we have today because we are believers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more faith. We don't need less faith. We have the exact amount of faith that will bring us from point A to point B.
Amen.
There's only one measure of faith, not many. And there's not different measures either. Only one measure of faith. And since what Paul was saying here, that the faith he was living by was the faith of the Son of God, then that must be the measure given to every single believer. And what happens is that many believers nowadays don't realize what they have. Because this faith is in their born-again spirits. And it can be perceived with just carnal methods or fleshly methods. Amen? We cannot allow the flesh to rule us. We need to trust God. We need to trust the revelation given and by God to us. We don't have a lack of faith, church. We have a lack of knowledge. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. We need to walk by faith and hearing the word of God, not by our five senses. So it's not that we have lack of faith, it's that we have lack of knowledge. And people perish for lack of knowledge. This is why it's so key for us believers to really know about the power that we have within us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The hope of glory is living in you. It's not sin that is going to cause you to not get to where you want to go. It's unbelief that's going to cause that to happen. It's a lack of faith, not the lack of knowledge. Because God is being very, very clear today. Amen? And rest, the rest that comes from the Lord, is just simply trusting the Lord and His Word. Rest comes by simply just trusting the Lord Jesus and His Word. And if we go to Hebrews 11:1, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And a simple definition of faith is just trusting God and His Word more than what we can see or feel. That's a simple definition. Faith for us gives substance to what we hope for. But no hope equals no faith. And hope is like a thermostat. It's not the power unit, but it controls the power unit. You understand? And what happens is here that when we begin to hope in the Lord, it equals positive imaginations. When I put my hope in practice and I begin to hope for what the future holds, I begin to imagine Beacon of Light Church standing. I begin to imagine the parking lot. I begin to imagine the people walking in. I begin to imagine me sitting in the front row. I begin to imagine me teaching and preaching from the pulpit. I begin to imagine myself walking up and down the aisles I begin to see myself. I begin to see the people. I begin to imagine people being set free. I begin to imagine people being healed. Amen? Because hope involves our positive imagination. So when we put all of this together, we have to see the desired result in our imaginations before our faith can bring it to pass in the physical realm. This is why faith and hope go together. But without hope, there's no faith. We gotta be prisoners of hope. We have to be prisoners of hope. We cannot lose hope, church. Just because you see a piece of land in Shirley doesn't mean nothing is happening behind the scenes. We gotta remain hopeful. We gotta see that what God has promised, you gotta see it in the spiritual realm. What God has promised will come to pass in the name of Jesus. You have to see it. So hope involves us in putting in our imaginations, positive ones, to work. Gotta see it in the spirit realm. So by faith, we can bring it into the natural realm and see the fruition of it, see the manifestation of it. Amen? Romans 10:17, let's go there. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Again, we're talking about hearing the Holy Spirit, communion with the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? Faith comes by hearing God's word, because God's word is his faith. Remember, we have the faith of God. We don't have faith in God, but we have the faith of God. So faith, our faith comes by hearing God's word, because God's word is his faith. People cannot be born again through human faith. It's just not going to happen. They have to use God's supernatural faith to receive God's supernatural gift of salvation. And you know how we receive that faith? When we receive Christ? I said it before, by hearing God's word. We heard a message, either from an individual or a pastor, we went to a church. However you received the Lord, it was in hearing by the word of God. And when you heard that word, faith, that supernatural faith arose, the supernatural faith of God arose, and you received the Lord, and you received the gift of salvation right then and there. And the only place that you and I can obtain God's kind of faith is from God's word. That's why we cannot compromise God's word. We have to proclaim it boldly to make God's faith available to those who choose to believe. Amen? This is why we share the good news with other people. Because that we are sharing God's faith with them. And when we do that, people will choose to either believe or not believe. Amen? I'm almost done, church. I'm almost done. So, let me ask you something. Which word will cause you to walk by faith and enter the rest? And there's two words in Greek, right? For the word, amen? In Greek, logos. You got one, logos. And that means the whole counsel of God is a doctrine, it's a teaching, it's a knowledge and information of God, right? And then the second word is rhema, right? It's a Greek word. And it's the living word, the divine utterance that is spoken by God's voice, bringing revelation. So which word will cause you to walk by faith and enter the rest? Logos or Rhema?
Rhema.
Absolutely. It is the Rhema spoken word of God that will bring revelation to your heart. And that's the word that is going to ignite your faith and will cause you to enter into the rest. Because you know God has spoken. You know you just heard God. You know God is speaking to you. You know without a doubt that this is God's living word, His divine utterance. And it is so true that it is the Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to communicate with God the Father. Amen. The Holy Spirit. So in conclusion, church, in conclusion, I told you I can't get to lesson three. There's no way. God chose to be a good and loving God. He chose us, what a privilege. He chose us to be His people, not His slaves. I mean, just look at the Israelites. He brought them out. He chose them. He didn't want them to remain slaves, so He freed them from Egypt. Amen? God, He's so good that He protects us like a shepherd does his sheep. So, I'm here to say we do serve a great and awesome and mighty God. Because God is always doing. God is always speaking. The problem is that we're not always listening. And the problem isn't God's lack of speaking, but our lack of listening. Why? Because we're allowing the noises of the world, the news of the world, the influences of other people to distract us. And we don't take time alone, like as we said in the beginning, to be still and silent and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. But praise God. Amen. Praise God. We're here.
Amen.
We're learning. Amen. We're moving forward. And we know that we can rest in the Lord. Because this is how it is. It is by faith that we receive the Lord. It is by faith that we receive our new birth in Christ. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus already purchased salvation and all its benefits for us. It's already done. We don't have to pray and ask God to heal us or prosper us. It's already a done deal. We just need to rest in what God has already done and provided for us. We need to rest in His blessing. Just like Brother Mark read Psalm 103, 1 through 5 this morning, speaks about the blessings of God. It's already a done deal. We can just rest in that. There is a place we can reach where we aren't striving to get God to bless us, but we are resting by faith in what He has already done for us. So church, we don't need to strive. We don't need to sweat. We don't need to do none of that. Just look at the finished work of Christ. It's already done. God already has provided everything. God already has spoken to us as a church, and He's spoken to us as individuals. It's done. The Lord says, rest in me. Enter into my rest, beloved, because I got you. I'm for you. And I'll always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake us, He says in His word. So all we need to do is just enter into the rest, continue to commune with the Holy Spirit, hear and follow. Amen? I hope you were blessed with this word.
Amen.